From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Oh, what a game. What a game that was. The Rangers win in overtime, 4-3 over the Islanders. The rivalry is alive and well. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes will be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps. Without further ado, we'll bring on the man himself, the partner of this platform, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, RP, Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud, what a game. RP, this might be the best win of the year. I said that a couple of times, but because of circumstance, because of contracts, extensions, and trades, playoff hunt, this got to be a play, and a rivalry. Dude, can't forget that aspect. This may be the win of the season. What's up, my guy? What's up?
Hey, Steve, I agree. It was, you know, something, a great win. That was playoff hockey. That was a lot of fun to watch. Little stressful at the end, but that's how they've been playing. I mean, 8 road wins in a row, and their big players are doing big things. Panarin, Zibanejad, Gorgiev, and goal. A lot of positives. They played a really strong game. They needed it, you know, with the news with Shesterkin being hurt and Buch being out. They needed to come and have a good showing. This is a big game for the Rangers. They pick up 2 points chasing down the Islanders for that last wild card spot. They gained up. I think now they move up and tie with Carolina, who when I last looked were losing. A lot of good things. Some things they need to work on, but overall it was a great game.
I hate the fact that Brock Nelson had the redirection with 17 seconds left because that's the only kicker. Okay, of course we got the 2 points, but I didn't want them to get the 1 point going into the overtime. Other than
Correct.
That, if we would have held them off in regulation, that would have been great. But other than that, I don't want to nitpick because this is a fantastic day, RP. What have I been saying since the All-Star break? Since I said we were going into the All-Star break, we had that long layoff, and we had the 2 back-to-backs versus Detroit, and we had the game versus Toronto. We had the game versus the Sabres. I said I felt like this team is going to go on a run. That was my whole thing, right? I said I think they got a run in them. And I think this is all breaking right, man. We were due for a run, RB. Everybody else had their run, and they're kind of fizzling out. Remember, Rangers were down at least 13, 14 points in the standings because they never had their run, and I think other teams did. They're hitting their stride now, man. They are really, really hitting their stride. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. I mean, they've won 8 games in a row on the road. They're 4 in a row overall. They're playing really well. I think at the beginning of the new year, they were 11 points out of a playoff spot, 13 points, something in there. And they found their game. And, you know, for years we've talked about this team scoring by committee and how it doesn't work. And now you see what happens when you have pure goal scorers on the team, guys that you can rely on to score. You look at Panarin, look at that shot by Zibanejad. These are goal scorers scoring goals. It's not, you know, lucky bounces or guys who normally don't score, like last year when Fast was one of the top scorers, and nothing against Fast, but that's not his game. And now you see, you know, your Chris Kreider's are playing really well. Panarin and Zibanejad are having incredible seasons, and the top players are finding those opportunities to take advantage to get the goals when they're most needed. You know, if you look at that overtime goal tonight, Panarin had the breakaway, and they caught up to him. And right when you thought they were going to bump Panarin off the puck, he's able to chip it over to Zibanejad, just stepped into a monster shot and got the game winner. And it's just great to see the team is finding ways to win. They need to find ways to cut down the shots on goal. We could say how great everything is, Steve. It's another game with 40-plus shots. I think the Islanders had 45 or 46 tonight. It's way, way too many shots on net. I mean, Gorgiev
saw 45.
Gorgiev played outstanding.
He saw 45. He saw 45 shots
45.
Tonight.
45, and before that, Shesterkin, of his 8 wins, 4 of them were 40-plus save wins. It's way too many shots on goal. The goaltenders are winning every night for us, and eventually it's going to bite them in the ass. Quinn has to find a way to slow the game down. It's great, these running-gun kind of hockey games. I mean, like tonight's first period was incredible. It was back and forth first period took like 33 minutes. It was one of the quickest periods in a couple of seasons. But the flip side to that is the Islanders had 28 shooting opportunities, and I think they had 15 or 16 shots on goal in the first period. It's something that they're going to have to start to work on, because eventually the game's going to turn the other way. But what's happening right now is this team's finding ways to win. They're finding ways to win. They're learning how to play through animosity, how to play through problems. Anything going there against them, the Rangers have been able to turn it around and make it a positive. And like we always said, the only way you're going to get that experience is by playing in these kind of games. So, I mean, Quinn didn't look happy walking into the locker room after the game, and I'm sure he has good reason to be. But from our standpoint, two more points, you know. But when you look at the numbers tonight, if you look at the numbers without the score, Steve, you think we got killed. 28 shots on goal, they had 45. We got killed on the faceoff dot.
Mm-hmm.
62% the Islanders won tonight. Wait, when I talk about puck possession, right there. You lose the draws, and it causes offense.
That's true.
That's my only problem
puck
with tonight's game.
I am big on that.
Say that again?
Puck possession, I am big on. You're right. I totally agree.
But the faceoffs led to all the Islander puck possessions, would led to 45 shots on goal. So it's starting in there. On the flip side of it, the Rangers, even though they were getting dominated, and especially in the first period, they were able to withstand it and come out with the lead. They're finding ways to win. And good hockey teams and winning hockey teams start to do that. And you're starting to, you know, I've said the last couple of weeks now, this team isn't so much a rebuilding team. It's a retooling team. You know, they kind of did some things at the trade deadline. Not a lot to bring in personnel, but they re-signed Kreider. They held on to Foss, which is like them picking up a rental player, if you want to look at it that way, without giving up a draft pick. And they picked up a draft pick with Shea. And I think the moves that the team has made, and I think it was really important that they wanted to keep the chemistry together. I mean, I like the moves. I wasn't thrilled with the contract. We'll talk about that after. But I like the moves that the Rangers made. And overall, you know, when you watch a guy like Panarin score 32 goals this season, worth every dime. And his work ethic and just the way he plays. And I don't want to say he's carrying the team, because you could say Zibanejad's carrying the team too, because he's another one that is just doing everything that he can to win. I mean, Zibanejad's got 29. The Rangers are going to have 2 30-goal scorers, maybe 3 if Kreider gets a couple or more. They're having a really good season. From an offensive standpoint, we haven't seen a team like this in many years.
Yeah, this was a fantastic win, Ranger Proud. This was a fantastic win. I'm with you on the puck possession. Oh, let me say this. We'll get into the Kreider contract. We'll get into the Brady Shea trade a little bit later. About this game and the puck possession, like I said, I'm with you. Like sometimes I'm not too big on the shots on goal theory, because it's not absolute. Nothing is absolute with stats and stuff, because it depends on how you got to watch the game to really get a feel. Sometimes the shots on goal thing could be a little bit overrated, and I'm not saying that's overrated tonight. I just think it can be overrated. I am in favor of possessions, though. I'm with you on that. But I just thought the Rangers did a great job, because the first 7 minutes of the game was all Islanders. It felt like, you know, you said, to your point, because I'm agreeing with you, the period went by really quick because it was clean, fast hockey. It was a great pace.
Mm-hmm.
The first 7 minutes was all Islanders. I give credit to the Rangers for not giving up a goal. They did a good job defensively, and then towards the end of the first, getting that goal, the Panarin goal, you know? So I'm saying it like this, like, it's the resiliency.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. They were very resilient.
Yeah.
I mean, that pass by Lindgren to get the puck over to Panarin was, you would never know he was a rookie. I mean, him and Fox were just playing great hockey. I think the only thing is the team is trying to adjust to having Truber and Smith playing together. And I noticed that when that last goal was scored, it was Truber and Lindgren on the ice. For whatever reason, Lindy Ruff or DQ, whatever it was, change it up, which I really don't agree with. They were playing much. They were playing their game the way it was, but neither here nor there. It's something that they're going to have to keep tinkering with because obviously they're going to want to break up the Fox and Lindgren pair. And D'Angelo and Stoll have been playing pretty damn well together. So I think they're going to be fine with the Truber and Smith pairing. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time, a little bit of adjustment. But resilient is the word of the night, especially that first period that the Islanders really dominated. It's a big win. There is no doubt about it.
We can do 2 hours tonight, man.
Now, you know, the way they're playing, I mean, we're legitimately in a playoff chase. And they're going to need to find these big wins and momentum.
Are you still thinking they're not going to make the playoffs? Or what do you think now?
You know, I know I've been saying all along I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I'm leaning more towards they might, but I tell you, it's going to be damn fun watching them. I mean, it is helping that some of these other teams, like you've been saying, some of these other teams now are starting to slump. I mean, the Islanders have been struggling. They fell into the wild card. Carolina, with both their goalie injuries, are slumping. Columbus lost their top scorer for 10 weeks with a fractured ankle, and Columbus is slumping. So, what's changing my mind over the last 2-3 weeks is not just these other teams are slumping. They have some major injuries to overcome. It's not just they're not playing good hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
The Islanders, you can say, are just not playing good hockey. So tonight they played a great game. They just got beat by Gorgiev and some good breaks for the Rangers. And the Rangers deserve all the credit. But the Islanders are at a spot where they just haven't been playing good, but you know they can. But the other teams, they're all slumping, and they all have major injuries.
As I told you they would.
Probably aren't going to get resolved. I mean, Carolina lost both their goaltenders. I don't care who you put out there. You're bringing up an AHL goalie for a playoff race with 20 games to go. You're going to have a problem. Columbus has been battling the injury bug all year, and it keeps getting worse. So, based on that, they have a damn good shot to get up there. They've leapfrogged plenty of teams. We were talking about that. Now they just have one team in front of them, and that's the Hurricanes. And now they're 4 points behind Columbus for the second wild card spot. Like you said, that 1 point for the Islanders, now the Islanders have a 5 point lead over us. Nothing insurmountable. The Rangers have had that number this season too. So I like how they look. I don't know what's going to shake over the next couple of weeks. I don't want to go against what I was saying either. It's kind of a weird thing. All I know is I'm really enjoying what they're doing. They seem to really have gelled together to become a team, and it's really fun to watch. I mean, games like that are nail biters. But when you come up on the winning side, it's a hell of a hockey game. If they would have lost the game in overtime, we might be singing a different tune because you were so close and you lost it. But at the end of the day, what do we always say, Steve? Get the W, and that's what they did.
They did. The big key about this streak or this run, this point streak, is the fact that they're winning hella games on the road. You said it yourself. They're winning several consecutive games on the road. That is a very good achievement. And if you're going to be somewhat of a contender for the playoffs, you want to have a team that goes on the road. I mean, since the All-Star break, RP, or even a little bit before, man, they went to Winnipeg, they went to Minnesota, they went to Carolina, they've gone to these different places on the road, considered good hockey, because Columbus after the Minnesota game, and they're going in there and getting W's. They're getting 2 points out of this. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and plus the injuries that they did sustain a lot early in the year, and they got not a lot of injuries, but key guys, you know, Panarin kind of held the fort down. They never hit their stride. And I believe all the teams ahead of them were hitting their stride because they were peaking, and now they're banged up, and they're in a little slump. They're in their ups and downs. So that's what I said. But I also said in one of the episodes about a couple of weeks ago, I said, I don't know who those other teams were playing. So let's give the Rangers a chance. I mean, they may not make the playoffs, but they haven't hit their stride. And I think this is their stride right now. We're seeing it as it happened. Everything's coming together. And RP, I think that nothing could go what I was saying, because I didn't really know about the news as much as I saw you reporting on it and other Rangers outlets reporting about Shesterkin and Buchnevich in the automobile accident in Brooklyn. How severe is it? Because I'm asking, I'm really in the blind on it. I didn't look it up. I am not researching it. I'm just asking you directly, what is going on with that? And how can the team rally around that with Gorkyov? How long can it last? Because I think that's part of the theme now because of what happened with them. What's up with that?
Well, Shesterkin suffered what they call a non-displaced rib fracture. I don't know much about it. I read up on it yesterday. Most people say
okay.
It could be a four-week deal or maybe a little bit longer, depending on how much pain tolerance he has. As a goaltender, it's a little bit harder. You're bouncing up and down. You're blocking shots. It's going to be a wait and see. JD yesterday said he would be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. You figure 2 to 3 weeks before they've been looking at him. The Rangers might have to go with Gorgiev the whole way and Lundqvist, for that matter. There's only 6 weeks left in the season. If he sits out 4 weeks, I don't know if he's going to be able to jump right back on the ice and start playing at the level he was before. He's going to need some practices. I don't think he'll need an AHL run. He can clear waivers to go back down, but I don't think that's what they would have to do. It's a painful injury. It's a broken rib, in essence. The non-displaced part means the bone didn't crack and come up. It's more like a fracture through the bone. Everything stayed intact, luckily for him, to that aspect. On the Buchnevich side, they're saying that he didn't suffer any injuries, but he was quite shaken up. Today, MSG listed him as an undisclosed injury. I guess maybe he's just really sore. No one's really spoken about how Buchnevich is playing other than he's day-to-day. So, goaltending-wise, a lot of this is going to fall on Gorgiev. You would think he keeps playing until he loses the game, and then maybe you see Lundqvist. But, see, now Lundqvist is getting set up for failure. He's only played 4 games since the new year. Now you're going to throw him into a game, and if he plays horrible, they're going to say, well, that's why he should be the backup, and that's why he's not playing good. But the man's not getting any game time. And everyone knows how Lundqvist is. He's a rhythm kind of a guy. He likes to get into a flow. And when you're not playing, and when you don't know you're playing for the day before, it's a little bit difficult. But on the flip side to that, he is a pro, and I think he'll be able to handle it when he gets his opportunity to play. We already know that Quinn said he's playing the hot goalie. That was his main objective when he announced Shesterkin as the number one. So we don't know when the next game that you're going to see Lundqvist play in, but when that time comes, I'd anticipate he'll be ready. And the rallying around the guys, you just treat this like any other player getting hurt. You just got to keep going. Whether it's your goalie, your forward, or defenseman, that's why a win like tonight will carry a lot of momentum, because they did it without Shesterkin and Buchnevich. They did it after signing Carter to the big deal. They did it after trading Shea and now officially putting Smith back on the blue line. Tonight was a lot of, can we keep doing what we were doing when we last played before the trade deadline? And I think it showed they can. And so, I mean, the rallying is just another day in hockey. If you're a good team, when one man goes down, another man's going to step up. I mean, look, they put McKeag back in the lineup tonight, scored a goal. I thought he had a pretty good hockey game tonight. The Blues played really well. You look at the bottom nine, the bottom six, and they played a hell of a hockey game. Lemieux played really well. DiGiuseppe, Howden scored a goal. Kaka was getting shots on goal and skating hard. There's a lot going on the bottom six that we didn't see, say, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I think the DiGiuseppe call-up was incredible because the man loves to shoot. As you can see, he can skate, he can grind, and he can hit. And he fit right in this mold. And that's why Smith wasn't playing at the time, because DiGiuseppe was playing a better offensive game than Brandon Smith, which is what fans were saying and bloggers were saying all along, that it didn't make sense to have Smith up on the fourth line or even the third line at times for so long. So now you see when you have a stronger fourth line, and I'm not, when I say strong, I'm not just scoring, but keeping the other team from scoring goals and keeping the puck in the other team's end of the ice, you're a different hockey club. Now he's able, Quinn, that is, to roll out four lines pretty effectively, which I don't think he was doing that in the first half of the season.
Man, you just stole a lot of my thunder, bro. A lot of thunder, man. I mean, I was just going to get to all those points, but you just kind of like, just cleared the bases on me, man. Like,
yeah, kind of flowed out. Sorry about that.
You know, like, no, for real, like the bottom six, like you said with the forwards, man. I mean, all those guys, like we talked about it a couple of weeks ago because we didn't, especially early in the season, so we just, everything was top heavy, wide Rangers, whenever they did get points, because it seemed like it was nothing but the Panarin and Zibanejad show. But now, like, you're getting that fourth line contribution. You're getting third line contribution.
Yep.
Like you said, McKegg had an excellent game tonight, man. Excellent game tonight. And that's not even just the redirection, his presence. Brandon Lemieux as well. I mean, I know that he had a chance to score one of the goals, and I think he lost control of the puck. It is what it is. Capco, now, people may not say, people going to look at like, man, where is he at? Where is he not scoring? Let me tell you something about him tonight. Defensively, was he had some great moments. A lot of people probably not going to, you know, he had like a dive-in poke check that really prevented the Islanders with a great scoring opportunity. Little things like that, like contributions people are not going to see on the screen. If you didn't watch the game, you're probably going to say, where the hell was Capocacco? But if you watch the game like I did, Capocacco defensively was very, very good and very, very clutch with jump, you know, defensively and stopping. It was like it was midway through the third period, and especially with the line change, he did a great job with his defense. This is a team win overall. I'll say this, though. I don't want to lose this point because you didn't say this. And I know Ryan Strome defensively he had a decent game, but offensively he had a bad night, and I'm not going to kill him for that. He blew some opportunities that could have really extended his game, meaning we could have had a bigger lead. I mean, he had the there was a play in transition in the offensive zone or heading into the offensive zone where Panarin found Fast, who found Strome, and Strome had a nice fake on the goalie, and he just lost control of the puck. Then he had a dump pass in transition and missed on the shot, and it turned around and created a Barzal pretty much on going the other way. Well, that's another thing. The Rangers did a good job on Barzal, man. I mean, he was in the first period, he was flying. You know, they found ways to get around it. Yeah, man. I mean, or you know, they contained the crap out of him. But I thought Strome tonight, that was one of my themes that was going to be tonight, because he had a rebound opportunity 2 minutes in the second period. He missed it. He had the deke on the putt on the goal. He missed that. He had the bad penalty after the Rangers. Remember when Truba trucked the Islanders player, and they had I know Pagel, he's new to the team. He had to stick up.
That was a great shot.
Man, was that a hit, man.
That was a hit, you know,
man.
Sam Rosen said it, too. That this, the NHL now, the knock to it is when someone lays out a guy as clean as that check was, and then two guys go attack him, is what's wrong with the NHL. You got to be able to accept the clean hit. It's defending your player, and I understand that. And look, when the Rangers, if someone hit Panarin or something like that, you expect them to go and defend him. But they showed multiple angles of that shot, and you could see Truba pulling his arm into his chest to make sure that he didn't even extend his arm on the hit. That was all body. He didn't leave his skates. He stopped moving his feet before he made impact. It looked like he hit him in the head from one angle because Truba's shoulder hit the front part of Doug Hull's shoulder. And of course, just from the kinetic energy, his head flew backwards as he fell, as his whole body went backwards. But I've seen different angles of that, and I truly believe that was one of the hardest clean hits Truba probably ever threw. So, I mean, good for him. You know, sometimes in hockey, you're going to have a really hard, clean hit, and it's just going to happen. And there was nothing wrong with
that.
You have to stop. I mean, I was glad the referees called the right way. The referees didn't have a great game tonight either, but on that call, the 2 and 5 and 10, I thought was justified. I mean, but you can give the Islanders player credit. They two guys came to defend them on it. And just from an over hockey fan, I can understand that. But it was a clean hit. I mean, it was a monster hit.
It really was.
It was one of those, did you catch, you know, it was a great hit.
I can't blame them.
But you can understand.
Yeah,
I can understand
they had to do
why,
it.
But they have to start.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they did not do it, you know, stand up for their teammate, how much that could have been a rip? The player, the media would have had a field day with it. The fan base would have got on the play. It was ugly for
them. I know, but every clean check, it just – I don't know if it takes away from the hit.
No. We're in agreement.
I know you
got
to stand up for your guy, too, but You want to know something? Sometimes, look, in football, we see massive hits like that that are clean. A wide receiver goes spinning down on a clean, hard wreck. Quarterback throws the ball across the middle. You know he's getting blasted. I don't see all the other players coming and starting up with that guy from a clean hit. So sometimes I don't understand it. I think it takes away from the game a little bit because hockey's about hitting. It's part of the game. It's not about the retaliation all the time. All the teams do it. The Rangers do it. I'm not saying that the Rangers don't do it. I just think it's getting to a point where you're not so concerned with the hit. Like after Trouba hit him, did you see right away he went into defense mode? He knew somebody was coming at him. He didn't know two of them.
Right.
But you could, as soon as he hit the guy, if that's not how it used to be in the rough and tough hockey years ago. It's part of the game. You know, you want to go after a guy for a dirty hit, jumping, elbowing, leaving his skates, a full-out charge. Hell yeah, you tag him. I played hockey. That's what you do. But on those clean hits, sometimes you just got to take the good with the bad. The guy got leveled on a clean hit. Guy had his head down. He's going to get popped.
Well,
one thing they have to start to work on a little bit. Yeah, overall.
All right. As we do this episode, Columbus is losing, Carolina lost, so this is a very good night standings wise for our team.
It is.
I didn't want to lose track of my whole point when I was saying about the Trouba hit, because the Rangers were on the power play and Strome had the bad penalty. My whole point is him having a bad game, mostly
yeah.
on
and
the offensive line.
That's right.
Right. That.
That's right.
Can't really kill him for the season, but for this particular game, it happens. It is what it is. We said so many points. Where do I go back with? The Howden goal. Let me go back to the Howden. That was all set up by him. His forecheck set up the turnover, man. He had the redirection from whoever shot it. I forgot who it was, Lindgren or Lemieux. Somebody had the shot. It may have been Lindgren had the shot from the point. He had the redirection. But that forecheck all started with him. You got to give him credit. How about Brett Howden tonight as far as getting that goal to make it 3-1? It was all set up from his forecheck. He caused that turnover, and the Rangers retained the puck and got it in the direction of Lindgren around the passing. He let it off from the point and redirected by Howden.
It was a great play all around. It was a beautiful deflection. He's been playing that steady, hard game ever since they put him with Kako and DiGiuseppe. They've been playing great. He's really shown he's not a pure goal scorer. He's a grinder. He sets guys up. But that play, just battling in front of the net and getting his stick on the shot, was everything at the time. It gave them the 3-1 lead. And, you want to see him score more because he's skating hard. He's playing hard. The goals just aren't coming. So it was good to see him get one.
I think it's at that time. Maybe we could get into it. So I think I heard you at the top of the episode. You didn't the Kreider contract. I didn't think it was going to get done. I said it last week. I'm so used to our team trading away our guys. But he got the years he wanted. And are you cool with the $6.5 million? I think he was asking for $7 million, if I'm not mistaken.
He was asking for $7 million. He got the 6.5. He got the 7-year deal. It wasn't horrible. I was glad they signed him. And then you go and read when the entire contract is released, and they gave him a no-move contract, 21, 22, 23, and 24. And then they gave him a full no-trade contract on the back end, 24, 25,
Man.
26, 27. Now, did we not learn from the problems that causes with Lundqvist's contract and with Stahl's? He's 28 now. He'll be 36 in that last year. You're going to be paying him $5 million in that last year. You're paying him $4 million the year before that. I know the number isn't as big as what Lundqvist has, but it's another no-trade clause. That's what I didn't like. I thought they might have given him a no-trade or a no-move the first 3 or 4 years of the deal, but the back three, I thought for sure they wanted to put that down. I mean, now you're already looking at him probably getting bought out too. It's like they didn't learn from the problems of having with Mark Stahl and with Lundqvist's deal. Why they traded Brady Shea, because he was going to get a no-move clause coming up on his contract. I know this is what all the players want, but if you're going to pay a guy almost $50 million, you're going to have a little bit more control over him. I don't – that's what the part of the deal I didn't like. I'm glad they signed him. Kind of got a little bit of a hometown discount when he – instead of giving him $7 million, gave him $6.5 million. Kind of figured that. I would rather have been a six-year contract as opposed to a seven, but all right. They negotiated what Gordon and JD and all of them were all happy. But I just don't like this no-trade clause at the end. And they kind of no one really talked about that yesterday until someone tweeted it out today, and then it became knowledge, public knowledge. So that's my only – look, I'm not mocking. He's played great this season, but we also know he goes through those up and downs. And I'm not saying that for tonight because he did have the flu or he was sick yesterday and he got into the lineup. So tonight he gets a pass on that. There's a lot that's been going on. But overall, he needs to play consistent like he has this season, earn the contract that he just signed.
I was going to say, do you think that Gordon and Davidson, they looked at it kind of like, okay, we got guys who are finishers now. Maybe, and I'm not, now this is still on Chris Kreider. All those years, his inconsistencies, when we need him in the biggest of moments, he disappeared. We get that. However, I will say this, and it may be a little bit of a justification on why you may want to retain him, because now you have the horses. You have Zibanejad, who's coming back. He's coming on to another 30-goal season. You got Panera, who's got 32. You have goal scorers, and he's just another threat that he's probably – we're better with him than without him, is what I'm saying. And I understand the earlier years, and he was inconsistent. Maybe they're putting the confidence in. It's like we're getting the right, we have the right guys whether on the first line, the second line. Let's trust this. He's hometown guy. It'll be great. Not to say this is not necessary. It's good for the fans, but at the same time, this is best for the organization on the ice. I like the deal. Now, if you want to get into the no-trade calls, we could address that in 2026, 2027, and we'll talk about that in 6-7 years. Okay, I get it. But for the moment, and the way he's been playing, and he was playing phenomenal. I mean, it's not like he was, you know, he wasn't like the Chris Kreider we've been criticizing. He's been fantastic, man.
You don't want to take the cheese.
Basically, you're not falling for the bait for Chris Kreider, man. You see him playing well. You're saying, wait a minute, he's going to come back down to earth. I wouldn't say come back down to earth. He's going to show that inconsistency again. Is that in the back of Ranger Prowl's mind, or what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That's in the back of my mind. Yeah, that unfortunately, that's what it is. You know, he's had an incredible 35 games.
He's got
a point to game average going the last, and he's played great. But when you look at his career numbers, he's only exceeded 50 points twice in his 8 years with the Rangers. And I'm not knocking him. I'm knocking – see, everyone could say you worry about the no-trade clause when it comes up. And we're saying, look what they're going through with Lundqvist and Staal now. The same thing's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I can understand why they gave him the no move clause the first 3 years, because now he's protected for the expansion draft. Makes perfect sense. Front ending the contract, perfect sense. I would have given him a no trade clause the first 3 years of the contract. Maybe the first four. It's the back end. It's the end of these contracts. When the guy's 34, 36, 37, in that range, and they really start to decrease. Now he's got a full no-trade clause. That is where I have a problem with the contracts. Front-end them all you want. I mean, the Rangers front-ended them with the signing bonuses and all of that to circumvent if they have a lockout or a strike. They did what they were supposed to do, and that's fine. I just have a problem with the back end of the no-trade clause. We've seen this book. We've read it. We're living through it now, and it's going to happen again. So I don't know if that was the deal breaker or not. I don't know if the Rangers might have waited too long to decide to trade Kreider. I mean, Boston made a couple of trades, then the Avalanche made a couple of trades, and those are the two top places that people were talking where they could get a good return. Joe Sakic at Colorado never traded the first-round draft pick. I read a tweet about that over, like, the last 4 years, 5 years. He really is stingy on that. So the Carter deal going over there probably wasn't going to work out. So I think now you look at Chris Carter and you go, well, now we can't really get the asset we want, and we want to keep him. It was more than just what was going on away from New York. I think it was a combination of things. I personally think it was great that they signed him. You can't keep trading away your top players because the contract's up and you're afraid to reinvest and re-sign them. You know, they did it with Hayes. They did it with Zuccarello. So I was glad that they held on to him. I just didn't like that part of the contract. Most people are probably saying what you're saying. Well, we'll worry about that in 2024 and 2025.
Yeah, but
okay,
it's
but it's
going to
come
right.
up. It's not
right,
going
to
come
up. You're right,
ask him. Now, there is one other thing. He has a no-move contract the next 4 years, which means if the Rangers want to trade him, he has to give them an 11-team list that I believe he doesn't want to go to. I forgot which way it is. Either a list he doesn't want to go to or a list he would go to. I think it's where he wouldn't want to go. So the Rangers have some control the next 4 years. But the back end of that deal, if it gets to 2025, he's not going anywhere. So that was my only thing that I wasn't too thrilled with. But keeping him, like you said, they need the veteran leadership. They need a guy who can score.
Does he get
playing
to,
great with Panana
and
Buchnevich. So there's a lot more positive.
Who gets
than
to
negatives.
See?
Say that again?
Who gets to see now? Who gets to captain shit? Is it going to be Zibanejad or is it going to be Kreider?
It should still be Zibanejad. I've been saying that all along,
okay.
So I'm not going away from that. Yeah, I'm not going. If they do it or not is another story. But, you know, I always thought it should be Zibanejad. He's just a consistent player. He's always teaching and talking. And I'm sure Kreider's the same way. I mean, who knows? The team might want Kreider. But, you know, from where I am and from what I see and what I like and what I see on the ice, I would think it would be Zibanejad. But then again, Quinn might be this guy that just goes with A's. You know, he might – we don't know. I guess I don't think anything will happen until next season. I don't think they're going to name a captain should they make the playoffs because Murphy's Law is – if
all right.
It isn't broke, don't fix it, and they've made it this far the way they are.
All right, we talked about the defensemen over the season. You know, of course, Fox, Tony DeAngelo, Lindgren. I mean, and then, of course, you know, the acquisition of Trouba. Now, Brady Shea being traded to the Carolina Hurricanes. The contract, I remember even doing an episode with you when we signed him over the summer a couple of years ago, you know, as far as him taking that next step. But it kind of just
never happened.
The expectations were lived up to that contract. So the Shea trade was, you know, he had years remaining on that thing, man. So was this more about, okay, we got guys who are playing better and they're at a cheaper cost. We could get something back like a first-round draft pick. You want to explain the Brady Shea situation?
I think Jeff Gordon and JD, when they talked about it, said it best. They had a situation. It wasn't just about the cap. It wasn't just about the player. It was a lot of things that happened all at once. They're strong with left-hand defensemen in the system. He had a $5.5 million or $5.25 million contract that still had 3 or 4 years remaining on it. And it was just, it all worked out. It's a strong draft year coming up. Carolina's giving up their first-round draft pick. It gives the Rangers 2 first-round picks this year, 3 in the next 2 years, and 19 picks overall in the next 2 seasons. And he was expendable, and he just wasn't playing as well. So the Rangers never said that part of it. I'm sure if he was having a season that Lindgren and Fox are having on the ice, it wouldn't even have been a question to keep him. But I think as the trade deadline wound down and the opportunity came, I'm sure they were talking about it beforehand, that's what happened, and they made the move. And like you said, I remember when we were talking about it, I remember when the deal happened, it was almost like when he gave McDonough the C when he was a Ranger. He played good, he got the C, Shea got the bigger contract, and it didn't work out. He never made that next step. It just never happened. And when it looked like whenever he tried to make it happen, he just struggled. So, you know, I mean, for Carolina tonight, Steve, he played 20 minutes. He had he played 3 minutes shorthanded. He had no power play time, which isn't surprising because he wasn't doing much power play time when he was on with the Rangers. He had, you know, 5 shots on goal, no points, a normal Brady Shea kind of a night. Solid defenseman, but for the Rangers, and based on what they have in the minors and guys coming up, he was an expendable player to make the trade, and the Rangers felt it was the right time to get another first-round draft pick out of it. Personally, I was surprised Carolina was able to work it out because right before the trade, like a half hour before, everybody was tweeting that Carolina couldn't work it out cap-wise, but somehow they made it work with the money and they pulled the trade off. So the Rangers are going to get a first-round draft pick. Of course, now we're all hoping Carolina doesn't make the playoffs because we get a better pick out of it, and it helps that we're battling that for the playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Talk about a team at the trade deadline. That was a busy franchise, the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, the Shea trade, yeah. Vatanen from the Devils, Trocheck from the Panthers. There's a lot of busy pieces moving around the NHL. I'll probably get to that on my final thoughts. The penalty kill has been fantastic, RP. I think they've only gave up 2 power play goals out of the last 25 attempts, maybe 26. The PK has been fantastic, RP. I mean, Zibanejad being out there, of course. Jesper Fast, like you said, he doesn't have to worry about being something he's not as far as a goal scorer. Just play your role. Defensively, he's been fantastic in the neutral zone, and especially on the circles where he feasts as far as deflections and pucks and making guys make sure the puck goes the opposite way. He's been fantastic on the PK. What's your thoughts, man, on the penalty kill during this point streak?
The penalty kill, I mean, special teams overall have been really good for the Rangers. They've been doing their job. It's funny. They're ranked 19th in the league on the penalty kill, but that's only by a few points there. It's stepping up when it needs to step up. And that's what you want out of your special teams, penalty kill and power play. So I think the penalty kill's been better than it has been over the last couple of years. I'd like to see him move up a little bit and get a little better. But that also comes with just not taking stupid penalties. They still seem to take those lazy penalties. The Strom penalty tonight, for instance. They're on a power play and he takes a lazy tripping penalty when he just let the guy go. Things like that tend to catch up to them a little bit. But overall, the penalty kill has been doing really well.
We got some couple of games on the road. Montreal, Philadelphia, St. Louis, I believe. I think that's a home game. Upcoming games, man, what's your thoughts? As far as, you know, we got the Philadelphia Flyers we're trying to catch as well. Going into Montreal,
like trying to catch everybody.
Remember earlier in the season, that was probably one of the. You know, I keep on saying every time we get on here, this is the win of the season. I said that when we went to Nashville. I said that tonight when we won versus the Islanders.
Every game is
the
big.
Islanders.
Every game is big. You're right.
But
look, for the first time in 3 years, or in 2 years, whatever it may be, we're playing meaningful hockey games after the trade deadline. So that's why everyone was saying tonight was such a big game. Tonight was the biggest post-trade deadline game in 2 years, maybe 3 years. Because after the trade deadline was over, the Rangers were still in it. And we haven't had that in a while. So tonight's game was huge for that reason, just like the Carolina game on Friday night was huge because we're battling them. Now you go up against Montreal and Philadelphia. Two tough road games. At Montreal on Thursday night is always, always, always a hard game. And then at Philadelphia, this might be the weekend or the two games where, regardless of what happens, both goalies play. And then again, it might not. You don't know the thinking of, you know, what Quinn is thinking or where he's going with it. But every game is big. And then, like you said, St. Louis is home at home. The Capitals are home a week from Thursday. And then the Devils at home on Saturday. A lot of hockey. They're playing every other night again. Some big games, and then they have a little bit of a road trip. There's a lot of tough hockey coming up. Another reason why they're going to still have a battle to make the playoffs, a couple of games with Pittsburgh, a couple of games with the Capitals, they have a game with the Lightning. It's a tough road ahead, but I got to tell you that if they take it one game at a time like they've been doing, they're going to be in good shape. The next couple of games are going to be tough, but what do they have? They have a home and home with Philadelphia this week, Steve, actually, which I just didn't realize that. Yeah, they play Philadelphia on Friday, and then they play Philadelphia again on Sunday. So the next three games, two of them against the Flyers, big 4 points right there. Like you said, we're battling them. So it feels like we're battling everybody right now. It's just the way the standings are.
Yeah, I was saying, the last time we went to Montreal, remember, that was, at that time, was probably arguably one of the best game up until that point, back in November, right before, was it before Thanksgiving? It was around Thanksgiving. I can't remember if it was before or after. Anyway, we were down 4-0 in that game. Remember, we were down 4-0. We looked dead. I remember Max Domi had a big game. Weber may had a goal. Remember, we were down 4-0. We came back, cut it to 4-3. They went up and got another goal. I can't remember who scored that goal, but the Rangers ended up coming back. And remember, Trouba had the go-ahead goal midway through the third period. So the whole one I was saying is to say was that we had a big win earlier this year in Montreal. Let's try to go for another big win on Thursday. It was on a Saturday. I know the game was on a Saturday. So it may have been after Thanksgiving, I think. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, RP. I was just trying to reiterate the point that the Rangers had a big win in Montreal earlier this year and got another big game coming up Thursday, back-to-back, Montreal and Philadelphia. No matter how you look at it, going into Montreal and then going to South Philadelphia, that's not easy, man. On back-to-back nights? Now you're talking about some battle tests because, you know, Montreal, of course, that's like the haven of hockey. You know, them in them in Toronto. And then, you already know how rabid Philadelphia fans are, especially with AV in them in the wild card picture. That, you know, the rivalries, you know, the Islanders and the Flyers. And then you got the Pittsburgh Penguins playing fantastic, and the Capitals is the Capitals. This is up and down 95, man. If you want to throw in Boston, I know they're not in the division, but the entire interstate between Boston and Washington's on fire, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, Washington's playing really good now. They have Kovalchuk playing over there with Ovechkin. They're gonna start lighting it up again. It's gonna be a real fun run down to the wire, I gotta tell you.
What do you think about these moves around the league? What do you think about these moves around the league? Because I was going to get to that. What do you think about these moves around the league? Because I was going to get to that. Kovalchuk, you know, going to the Caps, and of course, Blake Coleman going to Tampa. I think that's a very good move, man.
We talked about Carolina.
What about these other trades around the league? Nemestik Karp, our guy. Colorado, from Ottawa.
Proud going over to the island. There were a lot of good moves. I think a lot of teams improved yesterday. A lot of teams improved. Mm. It's going to put the heat on all these other teams. Another reason why it's going to be harder for the Rangers to catch up. But on the flip side, some teams didn't make anything. I heard Nashville Predators, forgot there was a trade deadline yesterday. They made no moves. I don't know. Some teams just think that they can manage with what they have and still win. Some teams don't want to give up the draft picks. You know, a lot of teams don't want to give up first-round draft picks anymore. This year's draft's supposed to be very strong from everything that I've read. And though there was more first-round draft picks given away this year, if I'm correct, than last trading season, some of these teams are just not going to give them up. You know, Colorado, for instance. They believe in the draft that much, and they don't want to move them, which kind of alters a lot of teams' plans on what they wanted to do, you know, to improve. But all around, I mean, I think it was one of the most traded trade deadlines they've had in a while, which was surprising. Because if you think about it, Steve, there are a lot of moves made before the actual trade deadline. So it was a busy time. A lot of teams, everyone, I guess you could say, thinks they're a winner when they get the trade that they want or the player that they want. In the Rangers case, they wound up signing Kreider, who everyone was looking for. And like I said before, you can consider a rental player that cost the Rangers nothing. People were surprised the Rangers didn't trade him. I think it was a good move in that instance. He's not a big, big money player. The team loves the way he plays. I think he loves being a Ranger. And if I had to guess, I at least could confidently say the Rangers would have a good chance of re-signing him, even though he's an open free agent player, because it's a good fit where they are. So that to me was a good gamble, right? By not doing anything, not trading him. Hopefully he doesn't walk away. There's always a chance. But if he did walk away, what were they really losing? A third-round pick, maybe a second-round pick, to if they were going to trade a Jesper Fast. So I think all in all, it was a good move all around.
Right, right. Final thoughts from Ranger Proud, man. What could we expect from Rangers Twitter? Rangers Twitter has got to be tamed right now. Can't be outraged.
Rangers Twitter has got to be going crazy. I haven't even been on it since we've been talking. After yesterday, I needed a break as it was. But now, we've been talking about the team. We wanted the team to play fun hockey, be competitive, going down into February and into March. We're right where we wanted to be. You look at a game like tonight, I mean, they've won 8 games in a row, which is a franchise record on the road. It's the longest road winning streak in the NHL this season. They've won 4 in a row overall. There's really not that much you can ask of more of this team. It was a little discouraging. Shesterkin got hurt. But then you see the way Gorgiev played today, and we know when Lundqvist comes in, he'll be able to carry his weight. So I'm not overly concerned about that. And even if we were, there's really nothing you could do about it. The one thing with a rib injury, you can't increase the rehab on it. When it heals and you feel better, it heals and you feel better. Right now, painful kind of an injury. So just going to have to wait that out. And, now we'll go to Montreal and Philadelphia and see if they can keep it going. And like we said, Steve, every game is a big game right now. You're still chasing and you're still chasing, but they've leapfrogged a lot of teams. They've come a long way. So, kudos to Quinn and the coaching staff. He found a way to make the system work, and nobody can complain about the head coach because he can't do any more in his second year as a professional head coach as Quinn has done.
All right, man. The conclusion of the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. The Rangers defeat the Islanders in overtime 4-3. RP, we'll be back next Tuesday. We have another post game versus the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. We'll have a discussion after that game, man. Ranger Proud, of course, writer for Elite Sports New York. Of course, Ranger Proud on Twitter. Ranger Proud on the Facebook fan page. RP, have a good evening, a good week. We'll be discussing the Rangers next week, and we'll see how they are after the next couple of games. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.